Hello, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. And our guest today is Rachel Moss. She is a writer, director, and producer in Los Angeles. She's worked on shows such as Patriot Act with Hasan Minhaj and Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, as well as documentaries that have premiered at Sundance and on HBO, Apple, and Amazon. Hello.
Hi.
Our book today is a book that I owned but never read. I'm pretty sure I got it at the Scholastic Book Fair, but I'm not
That's
sure.
classic. That's where I got all my
But
books.
by Jenny Nimmo from 2002, Midnight for Charlie Bone. So I sort of always thought of it as like a Harry Potter ripoff, but it's so much, I think, better than that. I'll read a little summary from the back of the book. Starts with, "What's happening to Charlie Bone?" Charlie doesn't want to believe it when he discovers that he can hear the thoughts of people in photographs, but his horrible aunts are delighted. It means that he is one of the chosen and must attend the Bloor's Academy for Gifted Children. Once there, Charlie realizes that some of his classmates have equally mysterious powers, and soon Charlie is involved in uncovering the mysterious past of one of them. So, how did this book come into your life? What's your story with it?
So I first read this in fifth grade, and I was a massive Harry Potter freak and wouldn't read anything other than Harry Potter, and like any magic fantasy books I would fully avoid because I was like such a purist. I was like, no, Harry Potter's the only one. And this one like somehow broke through. And I don't think I finished the series, but I think I read like the first few. And I was like a massive nerd in fifth grade. I was a teacher's pet, and I would spend all of my recesses with the library pass with my best friend. And I made book reports about Charlie Bone for my fifth grade. And that,
I love that.
yeah. And I remember, I wish I knew where they existed. They're on like a floppy disk somewhere, but yeah, I would like read these books and then summarize them for my teacher in a PowerPoint.
Like for fun or for
Yeah, for
class?
fun. No, truly just for fun.
Excellent. Good. You're like, I've read the gospel and I need to preach it. I love
Yes.
that.
Yeah. I
It's
did it with other books too. I think I did it with like the Animorphs. Like I literally never went outside for recess. I was just in the library.
I like as an now an adult, and I know there are public libraries, but as an adult, I really miss like grade school libraries. There's just
Yeah.
something about them.
Just like I know the Dewey Decimal System is in adult libraries, but it feels like a middle school, elementary school thing.
And for some reason, my middle school library was like absolutely gorgeous. Like to this day, one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. It was absurd. Like all
Wow.
glass windows, and they always kept the lights off, which was so nice.
Oh, that is nice. Did they have like lamps and stuff to feel like you're like cozy?
Yeah. And lots of natural light, and it was so nice.
That's so nice. Mine was not that nice.
I did a tiny bit of research on Jenny Nimmo, and she has like a very small internet footprint. But what I
Yeah.
did find is that her father died old, and Charles has been, he assumes that he's dead for his life, but that part of Miss maybe isn't dead. She was educated at boarding school from ages 6 through 10, and Charlie ends up at a kind of boarding school. He can go home on the weekends, but she at 16 ran away from school to become a drama student and assistant stage manager with a theater company. And then her career sort of started working on a BBC children's television show as like a director, and she would like adapt stories for the program. And then 2002, I mean, most of the stuff I could find was from the US, and it's just everything is in the wake of 9/11. The euro is introduced at the time. The International Criminal Court is established. Things are starting to happen in Iraq. It's a bit of a bummer of a year. But what a great book. What a
What a
great book
book.
to
It's
come out
so
of it.
interesting to think about like the time period it came out. There is a weird moment of they mentioned terrorists. And I was like, oh, right, this came out in
Yeah.
2002. Like for 1 second, they're scared of terrorists. And then they're like, no, it's not
Yeah.
terrorists. Never mind. And I was like, that's such a post 9/11 thought of just being
Oh
scared
my
that
gosh.
this person could be a terrorist.
Exactly. It was genuinely such a scary time. Yeah.
Yeah, this book is also like very dark for children. Like
Yeah.
it's sort of
It's
like very Matilda-y too, which is like pre-9/11, but it is like this is scary, this whole book.
Yeah. And I mean, his family is lives with both of his grandmothers. His father, and we find out later that he is not dead, but is like
No.
missing, or
He's
is
lying.
like trapped. Yes. Lost. But he lives with his grand, and she hates him. She hates everyone. She has these sisters who are awful and
Yeah,
so
they're
mean.
yes. And they're like holding the mom and the other grandma ho hostage. They're like, we pay for
Yes, like
your life. You
financially hostage. Absolutely. And there's so much of Redley, like his line has a lot of like magic in them, and people have powers. And so to Demon's ability to be able to like hear people's thoughts through photographs, she is just his grandmother, just like, you were a disappointment. We hate you. You were, what are we gonna do with you?
Yeah.
Awful.
Yes. She's so, and then like he shows promise because he does have powers, but then they are even meaner to him because of it.
Yeah. But I kind of wanted to Taurus because I think it's really fun that, like, I think it's always fun when everyone has a special thing. I think it's nice in comparison to Harry Potter because it's not like you are one special person. It's that everyone has a little special. So Charlie can read people's thoughts through photographs. There, who can hypnotize. There is
Yeah.
a kid who can animals. His uncle can like bulbs. I loved his uncle Patton. Loved that character.
Uncle Patton is great. I feel bad for him. He doesn't have any control over his powers.
Oh,
He
and he
just like
like can only go out at night.
yeah.
Yeah.
But it is fun. Yeah, I really like that everyone has their own power. And there's not that many of them. Like, there's only 10, and they call them the endowed children. And there's only 10
Right.
of them in this whole school. So it's really not that,
Yeah.
like, common. Everyone else in the
Yeah.
school is, like, normal.
Yeah, but they're kind of like well integrated. There's like, you just
Yeah.
have like special study group
Yeah.
after. Yeah, and they have this really fun, I mean, it's kind of scary, but like the school is in like an old castle. I don't think they say they're in London, but it's kind of assumed that that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I think.
There's these three cats on the cover which play a very important role that
Yes.
are named after fire signs. And in the prologue, they're talking about this. The series is called The Children of the Red King, which we get little bits and pieces of. But there's a line in the prologue that says, "We must never forget the cats," which is true.
Wow, I totally forgot about that. In the prologue, he's followed. Oh, okay. Yes. So we know. Okay. Wow. They really told us who the Red King is immediately. And I didn't know that. The Red King is a very mysterious. Charlie knows that he's like descended from this character called the Red King from like many, many centuries ago. I think from like the 13th
Something like
century.
that.
And the school has like a Red King room, and everyone's always talking about the Red King. And Charlie is like, who is the Red King? And we never really know. But then we find out that he has three cats, and there's another character that has these three cats that walks around, Mr. Onimus. And
Yes.
so when they mentioned
Wait.
that later in the book, I was like, that's Mr. Onimus, but we knew from the beginning. I just didn't pay attention.
They say that the Red King, I think, had like leopards, which is
Yes.
different from just like three kind of warm colored cats. But I love that they're named what, Aries and Sagittarius, and there's a third one. That I
I'm trying
can't
to
think
remember.
of.
Yeah. Aries, Sagittarius, and what's the other fire sign? I can't think of it.
Someone's shouting it. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's fine. But all of the events start because Charlie got a nice birthday card for his friend Benjamin, who lives down the road and has very absent parents and a dog that he really loves. That was
Yes.
so nice. Just the kids
Runner
are so
Ian.
sweet.
I know, poor. This is honestly, this is like very much Benjamin's book as much as it is Charlie's. I feel like
Yeah. And there's
Benjamin.
no like.
Sorry, I think we're on a delay, so I think that's where that's coming from.
Okay, go for it.
Benjamin, yeah, you get like his perspective in it too. It's not just Charlie's perspective. Like it occasionally swaps over to what Benjamin is thinking and feeling, which is fun.
Yeah. And there's like very real trouble, which I just did an episode on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that talked so much about is like real peril and real trouble for kids. And so it's not just like there's these mysterious figures, but it's also one of Charlie's like evil aunts comes to babysit Benjamin, but she is kind of like sent from the state and is like, what if foster care like really, really sucks? And
Yeah.
there's like financial kind of abuse or manipulation, grandmother. Yeah, there's all like very real trouble.
Yes. Yeah. Also, it's crazy. Benjamin's parents are like, they write him a letter and it's like, as you know, we are detectives. And they're like, go to find like a missing person. And that's why they disappear.
Yeah, they're like someone with like a yellow raincoat has gone missing in Scotland and we have to
Yes.
go.
We must go find this missing window cleaner.
Yes.
Really dark
Oh
world.
my gosh, which I'm realizing now how sort of close parts of it feel to like series of unfortunate events. I think there's
Oh,
something
yeah.
very, yeah, like textural there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it has to do with like this time period too, because that's another book from like the early 2000s, right? When were
Yeah,
those?
I think so.
Yeah, this like dark world that children have to like deal with is crazy. These poor
Yeah,
kids.
it is that like, yeah, the world, you know, keeps turning no matter how young you are, which is
Yeah.
so, I mean, honest and real.
I know. And like the like it's like these kids making the best of an awful situation. Yeah. It's crazy. Like all of the adult problems affect the kids. Like I feel like in other stuff, the kids kind of live in their own world, but these books are like, no, the adult problems are affecting how my life works, which is interesting.
Yeah. Charlie is like very early on, they use the word of like to now go on a quest. And I was like, God, I love a quest.
Yeah, we love quests.
Love
We need a
a
mystery
quest.
to solve.
We need a grail. Absolutely. And in this book, it's sort of the grail is kind of a person. There's this through one way or another, Charlie finds out that there is this girl who taken from her parents at a young age and is now kind of under like a hypnosis, and it's kind of the point book to wake her up. And her special power is flying.
Flying, but she
I
doesn't know
loved.
that. She's with the endowed children, but she doesn't know that she's endowed. Like she doesn't know that she
Yeah.
can fly, which is interesting. They don't tell her anything. They're just keeping this girl hostage. It's crazy.
Really, and like her mind is hostage. She's just sort of tuned out and checked out because the son of the headmaster is a master hypnotizer. I just love
Yes.
all the characters because like his
Yeah.
best friend is sort of, you know, the sidekick who I don't think has any powers. He's just like really bad at disguises. And this is
Yes.
always going around in
No,
terrible
isn't he the werewolf
disguises.
kid?
Oh, maybe,
Isn't he the kid
yeah.
that they're like, there's this 8-year-old with red hair wearing a mustache and a trench coat, and he thinks people think that he's an adult, but we all know he's a child.
Exactly. Absolutely. And like you were saying, what if the I'm thinking a lot about the website doesthedogdie.com, and Runner Bean, the dog, really close to death. He
Almost
gets
dies,
eaten
and I was like,
by
I
this werewolf.
that almost ended the book for me. I was like, no, we cannot kill the dog, please. Don't do this.
Sweet little runner bean. Yeah, the whole book starts with like Charlie is like, I want to get a nice picture of this dog and give him a speech bubble, my friend's birthday card.
Yeah, that says happy birthday. That's all Charlie wants.
Yeah. It very, there's a film where Robin Williams stars as like a 1 hour photo clerk in like a CVS, and he is like stalking this one family. It's very, very tense. But the whole time I was like, who? Because everyone is involved somehow. They have, you know, people everywhere. And someone slides this photo of a baby and a very grouchy old man, and one of the cats in the bottom of it. And that's how it all gets started. And that figure of the founder of the academy, that like the hypnotizer's grandfather, is just a great image. This old man in a wheelchair kind of cranking around in the secret passageways of this castle.
Yeah. What's his name? Ezekiel. A very creepy old man
I
name.
think so, yeah. Yeah, and their last name is all Bloor.
Manfred Bloor, who's the kid that hypnotizes, is very Draco Malfoy coded, obviously. There are definitely like parallels to Harry Potter in this book, but it has its own character too.
Down to like Charlie and Harry Potter both have the same like untamable curly brown hair and
Yeah, like it's Manfred Bloor is very like the Bloor family are very like Malfoys, and then they're in a castle with a school, but the school is not like Hogwarts. It's
no.
a school for the arts, which I find funny. And then they all have to wear capes, which I don't, there are some things where I'm like, is this a Harry Potter thing or is this like a British thing that I just didn't know about? The way that they say their addresses, like they're like number 12, number 9, like that to me is a very Harry Potter thing, but I think that's just how British people refer to their addresses, maybe.
Yeah, I wanted to ask if you had like any experience with like boarding schools or going away, because that's such a school of
Yeah, I went to private school in Connecticut, but it wasn't a boarding school. And then my brother and sister did go to boarding school, so they had more of the experience. But I went to like sleepaway camp and stuff, which is very different. I always wanted to go to Hogwarts. Like I was a crazy Harry Potter freak, and I would just like wish to go to Hogwarts every day of my life until I turned 11. I tried to like get my room to look like the Gryffindor common room. My mom did not go for it, so it didn't look like the Gryffindor room. But also, this boarding school does not seem fun to live in.
Yeah, the dorm rooms kind of feel like a hospital or like an old-timey like orphanage where it's just like beds lined up against the wall.
And
Military barracks. That's what I'm thinking of.
and they need like a flashlight when lights are out because they can't be caught talking or doing anything. And then the food is awful. They're like, if we're lucky, we don't get dessert here. If we're lucky, we get a pear. Which is so sad. If you want to like make people artistic, you gotta comfort them. You can't like, yeah. They
It
have
is
to
like an
figure
exercise in deprivation. Yeah.
it out. Yes. It is funny, like a bunch of
I
the
think,
characters do seem like they come from like loving families. Like his friend
yeah, absolutely.
Adelio comes from like a lovely family full of musicians, and his dad sings all of
Yes,
his
his
stuff.
dad is always speaking in rhymes.
Yeah. And it's like, why would you send your kid to this school? It sounds awful.
Yeah, but I think the difference there is like you can go home on the weekends unless you get detention. And it feels like very integrated, where Harry Potter is so, it starts very distinctly in the real world and then you spend the whole book outside of it. Where this is very much like, and I usually don't like, it's not technically magical realism, but I usually don't like that integration, but I really loved it here. I love that like we're just going to the bookstore where Uncle Patton has a crush on this lady.
Yeah, Uncle Patton, and he ruins the date with Miss Ingledew because he gets so excited and he explodes all the lamps in the restaurant.
And he's like, I realized I could have just played it off, but I ran around saying, sorry, sorry. And then that made it really weird.
Some of the adults in this book have like child logic with how, I guess it's because it's a children's book, but like sometimes they just like say things and you're like, well, that's a child would think that, but an adult
Although I think Uncle Patton has this narrative. Uncle Patton spends like forever, his whole life in his study. He never comes out. He's always like reading and writing all this stuff. But he has this thematic through line that I think is like the most beautiful part of the book, where he says sort of like to Charlie, like, I've had my head down forever and that has not worked. And like, it is my responsibility as a person in the world to put my head up and interact and try to make things better. And I thought that was phenomenal.
That was great. And then he like he yeah, he rebels against his sisters, his three is it four or three sisters? It's
I
three.
think
There's
four.
Grandma Bone and then three sisters, yeah. And there's like a whole chapter that's just called War, and it's because at the end of it, he's like, "We're fighting war against my sisters." And it's
Yeah.
like, yes, Patton, like, you do it. You fight against your family and save everyone.
Yeah, he shows up at the school because it's all in the same neighborhood, basically, or like it's all in the same city. And he shows up to the school at night and blows up all of the lights, glass, everywhere. Wonderful.
So to save the girl that's gone missing, the hypnotized girl, they just like give the, they're like, okay, here are her papers so she can be adopted.
Right. Because she is the niece of the bookseller who is sort of his romantic interest, Miss Ingledew. Which, what a name! I love it.
Julia Ingledew. It's a great name. They all have great names. Like, even Charlie Bone, Benjamin Brown, Fidelio is a good one.
Billy Raven is so cute. Billy Raven ends up like kind of betraying a little bit because he is an orphan, and he Manfred and Manfred Senior are saying like, if you spy on Charlie for us, we'll get you a really loving family. And they like they already know about you, and they're so excited to know you because he says weekends alone at the castle.
I don't think we figure out what ends up happening to him after the after he spies on him. Charlie confronts him, and Billy's like, yeah, they told me if I spied, I think he says that they told me if I spied on you, I would get my new family. But we don't know what that gets picked up in the second book, I'm sure.
I bet it does, yeah. I wonder if he's in that like final scene where Amelia, who is this missing girl, slash Emma, gets returned to her aunt, and they all have this beautiful party at the bookstore. I think maybe celebrating Christmas or something. So maybe he's in there, because I think that's like one of the beautiful parts about this book is that everyone's family and everyone comes together.
Yeah. Also, Benjamin's parents, like Uncle Patton, gives them a stern talking to, and they become more present in Benjamin's life, which is very sweet. I don't think that would actually happen. But it's nice to think that that could happen.
Yeah. Mrs. Brown kind of says like, I'm going to stay home now. We met up. We put you in danger.
She's like, I'm not working after hours, and on the weekends I'm changing my
whole life. Which is to be a present parent, which is so huge. I feel like we so many, you know, really, really bad parents, not just in this book, but in the like so much children's literature. So it's so nice to see that change. Like, change is so hard in people, especially adults.
Yeah. I also felt like strong Matilda. I think I said this already, but I felt like strong Matilda. Like,
definitely.
Yeah, the awful parents that she lives with, or the great like family that Charlie lives with, and Matilda's awful parents. And then like the school, Bloor's Academy feels less Hogwarts and more Miss Trunchbull's whole deal.
Yeah.
Where it's like tortures children. Revolting children.
Yes. Yeah, they might say like the art teachers are kind of nice, but really for like the endowed kids, they're like, we're gonna put you each in a program. Like, you're gonna be in the music school because your dad was in the music school, but like, we don't expect you to be good at this. Like, you're.
Yeah, that's crazy too. It's like, it's funny that they don't have like an endowed children's program. They're like, well, you're not good at any art, but we're just going to place you somewhere so that you can go to the school.
Yeah. You just have to start learning piano. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they all have like all the different schools have different colors. So it's like the music school is blue, the drama students are purple, and the art students are green, which is cool.
Yeah. There's a female friend named the drama program who is kind of gutsy, and she wears impractical shoes except for when it's important, and is just kind of, she's normal, and that's so nice. Like, normal is also still good.
Yeah, except she's a really talented actress, apparently. Oh, and her mom's a movie
That's
star.
true. Yes. And that doesn't come in until the very end. They're like, wait, that movie star just dropped Olivia off. What?
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, Olivia goes, thanks, Mom, you're a star. And then the narration goes, he is a star, actually. A movie star, in fact.
I loved that. That's so cute.
Yeah.
And her mom is really fun. Her mom is like, because Olivia has to go to like Amelia's adopted parents to like get her out. And mom, we've gotta do hijinks. We have to like drop her off in the back and let her
Yeah.
sneak in. And the mom is like, got it. Good. Let's go.
We're
Totally
doing
down.
it. Don't, I won't ask any
She's in for, yeah.
questions. We need
Ugh.
parents to ask less questions, I think. Just let their kids solve problems.
Oh my gosh.
There's always things that you don't want to tell your parents about. Also, I think it works with this like dark world that exists. It's like the kids solve the problems. Like, we don't need the mom to know about what's happening. Like,
Yeah.
Olivia's the one solving the problem.
Yeah, and there's sort of an empowerment there of like you can solve your own problems. It is good to go to adults sometimes. It's good to be like, actually, I like that. So they have this like mysterious case, metal case that plays a big part of it. And I like that at one point Uncle Patton is like, just like make sure there's an adult around when you open that. I just feel
Yeah.
like it's probably a good idea.
And they don't make sure when they
I don't think
finally
they
there's
do.
no adult, but it's nice that Uncle Patton thought about it.
Yeah, he's there in spirit.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
he's also like, because Charlie's like, I don't think I can tell you what's in the case. And Uncle Patton also doesn't question. He's like, that's okay. Just make sure that there's an adult around.
Yeah. Because Uncle Patton is like, people are keeping secrets, and sometimes that is important.
Yeah.
There's just so much understanding. Yeah.
Which is nice. It's like there are the evil characters, but you need the understanding characters too to balance that out.
Yeah, absolutely. There's this boy named Gabriel who plays kind of a
Right.
small role, but I was so interested in his power, which is if he wears like used clothing, he can feel like the memories and emotions of the people who wear it. So when Charlie first comes, he steals Charlie's cape because he's like, I got mine secondhand. This person was not well. This person was like stressed out. I'm really worried and scared. So can I just please have your cape? And Charlie's like, you know what? Fine, sure.
Yeah, we don't talk enough about Gabriel Silk, or like he kind of disappears into the background, but he's the one that gives Charlie, like he tells Charlie that his dad isn't dead. He's like, he's definitely not
Yeah.
dead. He's just lost. So I hope we see more from Gabriel in the future books.
Definitely. That's such an interesting power. There's a little degree to Charlie's power that like is clearly set up for future books, but of like maybe if I like actually maybe I can also kind of in person if I like really focus on them. But he tries to do that on Manfred, and Manfred is like also trying to hypnotize him, which I started to think about like we're film people. I'm always trying to like think of how to turn it into a movie. There's that scene with Uncle Patton and the things exploding. But if that were like on camera, it would just be two guys like really staring at each other for a
Yeah.
couple pages.
It got picked up for a pilot like a year or two ago.
Oh, I had no
I
idea.
don't know what happened, but there was like some actress I follow on Instagram that was in the pilot, and I was
Oh
really
my
excited.
gosh.
And I don't know if it got picked up for anything. I want to Google it.
I should look into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TV show. Yeah, Amazon ordered Charlie Bone pilot in 2023. I wonder what happened to it.
I wish Amazon still did that thing they did when they first premiered Prime, where they're like, here's five pilots, vote on which one
Yeah.
you want.
But is it voting or was it like whichever one got the most views? But
Maybe that.
I really
Yeah,
liked
maybe
the
that.
Interestings. They did a pilot for the Interestings, which is also sort of Charlie Bone-esque.
I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, it's Meg Wolitzer, and it's an adult book, but it's about six people that went to camp together, and it follows them at their like they're all artists at this art camp, and then it goes back and forth between them at camp and them as adults. And there was
Wow.
a pilot, and I really liked the pilot, and it didn't get picked up. They picked up like Railroad Tycoon or something. Something
Sounds
like
like a great
that.
2002 CD-ROM game.
Not Roller Coaster Tycoon, just you build railroads.
Oh my god, I spent so many days on Zoo Tycoon, and the
Yeah.
graphics were terrible, but I loved it.
You
Oh, I should
know.
spend the afternoon doing that somehow.
You should.
Oh, I'm gonna write it down.
Yeah,
Yeah, I really want to keep reading this series. It was just so fun and like I mean the book is thick, but it's like double spaced. It's
it's 400 pages, but like the font is massive. So it's actually maybe like 100 pages.
when I read books for this podcast, I try to read one every work week, so every 5 days, I read 80 pages. day for this, and it took like an hour at most. It was
Yeah,
just so
really.
breezy.
It
Yeah.
was an easy read, which is
For
nice.
sure. Oh yeah, I did this right after Scarlet Letter, and it was a very
Oh
nice
yeah,
palate
that's very
cleanser.
different. I've been on a
Yeah.
big fantasy kick, and so this actually like filled that void too. It's just like an easier read. I've
Yeah.
been on a Brandon Sanderson, which is like the opposite of an easy read, which is like 1300
Right.
books, but those I also blow through. This like fit nicely into that cycle of books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
Yeah.
that. What really surprised you when rereading this book and revisiting it as an adult?
Yeah. At first, it was hard to shake the Harry Potter parallels. And so I was trying to figure out like what grabbed me as a kid because I was such like a pure, I think I liked it as a kid because it was basically like Harry Potter, but it was just a different story and it was a new story. But it exists out in the world in the way that Harry Potter doesn't. Like Harry Potter's very like exclusive at Hogwarts. And this is like these kids are involved in like the real world and they're trying to solve like real world problems instead of like the wizarding world is separate. It's like they're still very much part
Yeah.
of their families. And there's like kids that don't have any powers and they're totally like balanced with the kids with power. Like everyone is an equal, which is
Yeah.
nice. Instead of like
Absolutely.
looking down on like muggles, which is
Oh
nice.
my gosh. Yes, especially like I didn't go to like a private school, but I went to a magnet school. So in high school we had four like houses, and it was like
Oh,
the
wow.
math computer one, and I was in the English one, and there was just like a normal kid's house of like the kids who lived in the neighborhood, and we treated them like garbage. We were not nice to them. So it was really nice that yeah.
Yeah, like we need to treat everyone as even like Benjamin is the only kid that doesn't go to the school. Like everyone who goes to the school is technically gifted, like whatever art they specialize in, but they all treat Benjamin like an equal too. Like he goes to a normal school and they're all like, yeah, Benjamin's like my good friend and we're gonna help him out, which is
Yeah.
lovely.
Charlie is so determined of like, I am not leaving Benjamin behind. That's like his big
Yeah.
concern about going to this new school is like he doesn't want to leave Benjamin behind. And then Fidelio comes in and he's like, great, Benjamin is my friend too. And we're going to bring him along. There's like a little issue with just like coordinating
Yeah.
logistics, but I loved that.
Yeah, I really like that too.
Yeah.
Because at one point I was like, oh, maybe Benjamin turns evil because he's like, I truly couldn't remember the whole plot of this book, but I was like, maybe Benjamin turns evil and like because he's left behind, he like gets back at Charlie in some way. And it was really nice that this didn't happen.
Yeah, I think especially like I moved when I was like 8 or something, and it's such a nice affirming thing to be like, actually, you can like move and grow and you can still keep the people who are important to you. I think that is
Yeah,
special.
it's
Yeah.
a nice little lesson hidden in this book.
Yeah.
I thought actually there's one
Yeah.
scene that I fully remember, and I was so surprised that it was such a short scene because it's like when I think about this book, I think about this scene, and it's at the end of the book, Zelda is one of the endowed kids, and she's actually kind of evil. Like she's with Manfred
Yeah.
and she's playing this game, pushing a pencil case with another girl because they both have telekinesis and they're pushing it back and forth with each other. And it's like truly a paragraph. And for some reason, that is the scene that stuck in my head. I think because I thought telekinesis
Really?
was power, maybe. And I was like, I want that.
Yes. Oh my God, control. That's such a huge thing. I feel like telekinesis was just like in terms of powers and of like it was in the zeitgeist. So I think it was interesting that that was like such a small one.
Yeah, I like that the biggest powers we saw were like not very common. Like Charlie's power is like it's fun and useful when you're trying to catch a bad guy, I guess, and there's a photo of being taken by the bad guy, but you are like, okay, sure, but like what else can you do with this?
Yeah, there was one point really early on where he's like, I cannot look at a newspaper. It is so just like so overstimulating.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that poor kid. Although his mom and the nice grandma, they show him like photos of celebrities and they're like, what's happening in this photo? And then it's like
They
a
are.
man yelling at a movie star being like, "You look too chubby."
Yeah, or it was like the paparazzi was doing that, and like her husband was like, "Shame on you," something. That was cute.
And then the other grandma comes in and is like, "These powers are not for fun. Stop doing
Yes. Oh.
that."
You talked about like reading Brandon Sanderson. Do you think, and we've talked around this with Harry Potter, do you think this really like impacted sort of your taste, stories you reach out or seek out, or even the stuff that you like write?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been like a big fantasy nerd. I don't know if this book kind of like fed into my fantasy nerd life. Like, I don't think it really changed anything, but I think it might have like reinforced that I liked it. And it probably was like, oh, I can read books other than Harry Potter. Like, I can read this other book that's also takes place in a school with magical children, but it like opened it up a little bit to me, which is nice. Yeah, and then like I truly can only read. I love like contemporary fiction too, and like Sally Rooney and that kind of stuff. But I've really only been on a fantasy kick for like the past 2 years, and I can't read any. The stuff I write is very contemporary fiction though. I don't write any fantasy, which is interesting. Like world building is so hard, and
Oh
you
my
have to have
gosh.
a really, really active imagination in order to write something like that, and I just like to read that, I think.
Absolutely. And sometimes I'm just like, gosh, if I ever want to produce this, it's gonna be so much extra work. I gotta get green screens
Yeah,
in here.
so many green screens, so much CGI. Although I think it's fun, like
Oof.
I would direct something like this. Like, I don't think I could write anything like this, but directing is fun. Like, you were talking a little bit about like picturing how something would look, and I think what was it like Patton staring at someone, but I think it that
Yeah,
would,
it was Manfred and Charlie. Yeah.
yeah, them staring at each other. But I think there are like fun ways to like play with cinema in order to like show that, or like watching Patton like walk down the street and like the lights, street lamps exploding all around him. Like, I think that's, I want this pilot to come out because I want to watch it.
Me too. We don't need another series, but I would love it
Oh.
because again, it like scratches that itch so much, and like not knowing the rest of the series, it just if nicer. Even that, like with the paparazzi thing that we mentioned, even there, he's like, "Don't be mean to fat people," which J.K. Rowling definitely
Yeah.
is.
She's really fat phobic. We don't
Oh
need
my
more.
gosh, yeah.
This Harry Potter series is such a waste. There was another like kids magic show that I watched that I was like way too old for. Like, I think I watched it in my early 20s, and it was called Just Add Magic, and it was about like three like preteen girls. Like, it was sort of like a Sabrina the Teenage Witch for like modern kids, but they were like, I think they were younger and running around like trying to solve problems with magic, and I love that stuff.
That's
Like,
so fun.
yeah, like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I loved. I watched Wizards of Waverly Place, like anything where like kids are magical. I love that.
I mean, I think that was something really special about stuff like that, where it is so integrated of like, I mean, the whole premise behind Buffy, which was so critical to me of like, high school is scary. Like these things have like, even if you're not facing vampires, like things are hard, and you can like integrate that and
Buffy's good too,
absolutely.
and they're doing a Buffy reboot too, which is like, we don't need that.
Yes. Just to
I guess maybe like another generation is fun instead of like a full reboot, just like a new teen slayer.
Yeah, but even then, that was sort of like the whole conceit of the very end of the show is like, now you're all slayers and like everyone has power.
Oh,
So it does
right.
sort of like,
Interesting. I wonder how they'll get around that. Yeah, because Sarah Michelle Gellar is going to be in it too, I think, as Buffy. Maybe? Did I make that
yeah,
up?
I don't know.
I
I trust her though, like, I really trust her with those characters.
don't know. I feel like she has good thoughts. I hope.
Oh, yes.
Oh, one thing I wanted to say was that these books are out of print, and I went to a bookstore.
Really?
Yeah, I went to Barnes and Noble looking for it, and I talked to a really nice lady who knew what I was talking about because she had worked at the Barnes and Noble for 20 years. She was like, "I know that book, but let me look it up." And she was like, "It's out of print." So I had to go to the library to get it. I wanted to buy it. Like, I was like, "I'll buy this book for my shelf." But they're out of print, and that makes me sad.
Buy them all to keep them
Yeah.
safe. Yeah.
Yeah, like you can buy used versions online somewhere, but I am like, I don't know, these books had like staying power with me. And I was talking to another friend and he read all of these books too, and he was excited that I was reading it. And it's like, don't stop printing them. People will read them. They're good. I don't know. Maybe the TV show will bring that
Yeah.
if the TV show happens.
Yeah, that's so weird. Yeah, that like a out of print book. That's so weird.
Yeah. They were published through 2010, so I don't know when they stopped printing them. But that makes me sad that that can happen. I've never had that experience with like wanting to find a book and it's not in print anymore. And also the Animorphs are apparently out of print. Like that's crazy to me. That's my whole childhood. I read all of the Animorphs. That's so
That's,
sad.
yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, so we got to bring these books back for the next generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to write for that show.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that would be so fun. I'm in.
Would you consider it required reading?
Yes, I would. I loved this book. And I'm gonna
Yes, me
read
too.
the next.
I had so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a fantasy kid, like maybe I'm a little too old for it, but it was fun to revisit as an adult. And if you like fantasy, you'll like this book. Like it kind of hits all those feelings that you want out of a good fantasy book.
Forget Harry Potter. We've had that.
Yeah, we need something new and old and bring it back.
Absolutely. I
Yeah.
loved it. Required
Yeah.
for me too. Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Well, as we round out, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Oh no, I don't know. I just produced a short film called Max Distance and it's premiering at South by Southwest and it will be out on the internet soon. And watch that movie when you see it on the internet. That's what I'm plugging.
Well, congratulations. That's
Thank you.
huge.
Yeah, very exciting.
Well, thank you so much. I think I'm going to turn off the recording.
Good.
Thank you so much to Rachel. I am already listening to book two on audiobook, and it's already very fun. It is about a time turner. Oops, but it's a marble. In this one, you can find me in season 4, episode 8 of Mythic Quest. If you hear sounds in the background, it's me getting some homemade cheese crackers that I made. They're very good. You can support the podcast at buymeacoffee.com/required reading. And next week, we're doing another movie episode, The Last Unicorn from 1982 with Kristen Campbell. I'll see you then. Or maybe a Goosebumps book. I don't know. I'm gonna be out of town, so I don't know how much editing I'm gonna get done. It doesn't matter. We're all having fun. You can find me everywhere at Erin Arbols. I love you!